You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
We're talking, David, about the most random sequels ever made. The movie wasn't a hit. It wasn't trying to be a blockbuster or really trying to be a franchise.
They just squeezed one more drop of, like, let's try to get one
Wayne's
more.
Wayne's World 2.
Whoa.
Wayne's World was a hit.
That was a massive box office smash. Massive.
Did it really? Did it do well in the box office?
No, Wayne's World 2 was terrible.
Yeah. Whoa.
You're talking about Wayne's World 2.
I liked Wayne's World 2 better.
Wayne's World 2 is good.
Yeah, Wayne's
stock. That's funny.
$183 million for Wayne's World.
That is a massive movie.
I always assumed it did bad
Box office?
Box office.
Yeah,
thank
well,
you.
Because it was an SNL spinoff and those historically
I
don't
assumed
go well.
It was a bomb in the box office and then became popular afterwards.
What I'm saying is, if like, did Sling Blade have a sequel? Like a movie that just
what would be the sequel to Sling Blade?
I don't know. Man, Sling Blades.
Didn't Atlas Shrugged have a sequel? That didn't do too well.
Can't even. Would not have a sequel.
Basic Instinct 2.
Oh yeah,
that didn't exist.
Risk Addiction.
Terrible.
Anytime that you give me a colon and like another like subtitle to the movie.
I'm with that, though.
How about Police Academy 2?
Oh,
how many Police
Academies? All the Police
Academies
were there. What were there, 9?
I want to say 9, yeah.
Some sort of huge amount.
Police Academy. Police Academy 2 is better than Police Academy.
I like Police Academy better.
No, Police Academy 2.
Because it was new.
More of a 7 guy myself.
You haven't seen 7. You didn't even know there was a 7.
There was like 11 of them, weren't
there? The one they went to Russia.
How about Bad News Bears?
Oh, Bad News Bears go to Japan.
How do you know so much about the Police Academy franchise?
Oh, it's
they're like all eligible?
Famously, this was so David, when I was 8, my family moved to Sudan, and this was supposed to be the big move. We're never coming back. So we knew, look, entertainment's going to be hard up. So for months, it was just taping everything, every single movie. One of the reasons why like Star Wars is such a big thing for me is because I've watched that movie 8 billion times because it's one of the few things I had. It was Star Wars, it was Indiana Jones, it was Back to the Future. And it was the Police Academy movies.
By the way, you were right. Police Academy 7 was indeed Mission to Moscow.
See?
How about Showgirls?
Showgirls 2. What's it? Pennies from Heaven? Was that
yes.
What?
Yes.
It was a sequel based off of one of the characters, one of the bit characters. She got her own.
Not Elizabeth Berkley?
Not Elizabeth Berkley. It was Penny. Who played Penny, Roy?
That I don't remember.
Oh. Yeah, no.
Sure.
How did you tape them? Like on VHS tapes?
VHS.
So you came with a tow load. Like when you moved to Sudan, did you have a suitcase just of tapes?
Of tapes.
How did it go in customs? Like, did they say, excuse me, are you distributing?
No, they were just like, all right, whatever.
What's on these?
They're like, for home movies. Which is true. We recorded these movies at home. Also comic books. Lots and lots of comic books. It's funny because there's all these things in popular culture where I have a lot of knowledge about, and then there's a cliff. So all these comic book movies, when I can't follow the plot line. I'm like, wait, when did this come out? When? Oh, this was in the comics. Like, when? It was like 1997. Like, that explains it. Mine all stops like 1987, 88. That's kind of
where. But we all have a culture cliff, don't we? Like, there's a cliff with music. Like, my musical taste stopped in 1990. I stopped listening to music in 1995, let's say. And so for me, that's it. Like, unless I've heard it in a nightclub, that's it.
So for David Sampson, grunge still rules the world. You need
to go listen to some Harry Styles, David. You're missing out.
I can't believe you're saying that. So I got into a rabbit hole on TikTok last night, and there was a Harry Styles song that was a really good song. And I thought it was a remake. I thought I'd heard it before. But all of a sudden, just last night, I took an interest in Harry Styles.
Really?
It just happened.
And there are like thousands of videos of just people freaking out at his shows. Like, you can fall into a rabbit hole that's just people in the crowd at his shows reacting to mundane things that he does. It's like, I was there for like 2 weeks, and then somehow TikTok has me out of it. It's weird that like your content choices are entirely decided for you on that app.
Well, the rabbit holes have changed, right? When I was younger, a rabbit hole was, I'm going to stay and read one extra chapter of my book, right? You'd look to see where the chapter was going to end. All right, it's six more pages. That's it.
The quaint one is like you click on the video on the side of your YouTube page, right? And it's like, here are like the eight videos you could click on.
Yeah. I don't like those. I hate the autoplay. Don't make me start watching something. Let me pick it.
I like to envision you in 1995, David, just listening to Mariah Carey's Daydream and being like, there's no more new music for me. It was Visions of Love.
Visions of Love changed my life. I'd never heard a voice like that, ever. I don't know if anyone remembers that song when she sang that song in about eight octaves.
Where she just keeps going higher and
it's
higher.
It's a life changer.
Higher.
You had him listening to Mariah Carey. I had him with the flannel and the long hair and just, you know.
Oh, no. Grunge was like kind of
95.
I wasn't allowed to be grunge.
No?
No. I was not allowed. Like, I had to get a haircut at certain intervals and put the Docksiders on.
That didn't make you want to listen to it more? It's usually how that one works.
No, I didn't choose my rebellion with music.
What'd you choose it with?
I chose it with line.
With what?
Lying.
Oh, lying. Oh, my God.
I thought you were going to say lime. Weird vice, but I'm down.
I thought he said lines. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, no. No. Never done that.
On a very special Dan Le Batard show.
David Sampson acknowledges that he does crack.
You've cracked him open. Way to go.
No. I grew up during the less than zero time.
Cut that and put it on social.
Right. You know, less than zero.
Yeah.
So I grew up during that, but no, I never saw cocaine until law school.
Really?
I never saw it in college. I went to Wisconsin. I never saw cocaine once.
Really?
Not once.
Madison, Wisconsin.
Dude, there's spotted cow coming out the wazoo there. That's all you need.
Was that in English?
Is that a type of wazoo?
I don't know what spotted cow is.
The beer.
Oh, I didn't drink beer either. I didn't drink in college. Can you believe that?
I thought you were going.
All I did was get stoned. Oh, I don't know if I can say. We're not on the air, so it doesn't matter, but that's what I did.
We'll cut it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are we on? Wait, is this the show?
Yeah, this is the show. This is how we do it.
Okay, my contract says that I'm starting at 10. Anything prior to 10 is not eligible. No, but yes, I went to Wisconsin, and the only thing I would do were Jello shots.
Wow.
Because I didn't like how it felt to drink. And I also didn't sleep in college, so it was easier for me just to get stoned and then not go to classes and just be around to clean up after a party or do things like that.
Well, was it a bloated sensation? You didn't like drinking?
I did not.
You liked the result of drinking, but you didn't like actually ingesting
it. No, I didn't know what the result of drinking was. I did not drink in high school or college or law school. I had my first drink when I got into baseball. I didn't even drink on Wall Street.
But Jello shots is...
So the Jello shots, but it was Jello, and I would have two of them, and I wouldn't be drunk. I would just do it because it was the peer pressure to drink is so unbelievable. It's very hard to get through when you don't have the, hey, I'm a Mormon, I can't do it. It's, God, why are you such a wussy? So I would pretend that I would drink.
So you said you didn't start drinking until you were in sports, in baseball. How did that experience go?
So I couldn't sit with executives and smoke.
So you needed something to cut the tension, or you needed something in your hand?
Oh, no. No, I like where your head's at. I needed something to not feel the way I felt.
Got you.
And right. and everybody does that. There's so much abuse of alcohol and drugs in sports, as in anything.
So years ago, when Lamar Odom got checked into that rehab after he passed out of the Bunny Ranch or whatever, earlier that day, I recorded a or the day before, I recorded a podcast. It was me, it was Ethan Strauss, and Pablo Torre. And Pablo had just written this feature about James Harden, right? But before we started talking about his feature, in the news that day was the Steve Sarkisian, like, remember him from SC, and he had a big alcohol problem. Yeah. He had to step down. And so one of the things that came out was the receipt from a coach's retreat in Palm Springs.
How long was it?
It was a CBS
Ace Ventura's
receipt.
Wallet?
Yep. And so it was, but I remember it was like 14 shots of Patron, you know, 20, da da da, six bottles of this, da da da. And then there, at the bottom of the receipt was two Michelob Ultras. And I started the podcast by saying, who is this ungrateful son of a bitch? This generous man buys out the bar, and you're like, I'll just have a Michelob Ultra, right? From there, we transition to. Look at me, Lou. So from there, we transition the conversation to about, seriously speaking, Steve Sarkisian is getting hit for this. But if you go by the definition of alcoholism and alcohol abuse, the entire industry, the athletes, the administrators, the media, everybody in sports, if you don't drink, you probably have a drinking problem. And
you mean a drug problem? If you don't drink, you have a drug problem.
Well, I'm saying no. I mean, unless you don't drink at all.
You're not drinking for a reason.
Unless you don't drink at all, you are definitely just...
The problem is the time is off. So everybody sleeps till noon, and then you wake up, you have lunch. I didn't do this. That was my issue, that I started drinking in baseball, but I was still getting up at 6 or 7 o'clock and working, and then doing the game. So luckily I didn't need a lot of sleep, but it always struck me, and it was a tough thing as running a team. When do you get down on a player for drinking too much? When all that's being modeled is everybody's drinking all the time.
Right.
Including in the clubhouse, by the way, on a side
note.
We had
a fridge in the locker room, and it was well stocked.
We had alcohol in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. We used to say we won't feed our players alcohol when we are flying home from the road to home because the players have to drive
home. Yep.
But guess what? The greatest, this is not a top five list because there's only one, Randy Choate. Randy, I know you listened because you told me. Randy Choate had his own drinking suitcase. That was a suitcase that he brought on the team plane because we didn't serve alcohol on certain legs of the flight. And he would open it, and it had the containers. The only thing I can liken it to is Nicolas Cage's gun briefcase in Lord of War, where there's different containers everywhere.
File.
That is what Randy had, and it was awfully impressive.
So he would mix his drinks? Like, he had, like, the shaker?
He had everything. And it was, he would sit in the back where the players are, right? And
had the little elastic band around his bicep?
He did not have needles. I'm willing
to... No. I'm like saying the bartender. Like an old-timey bartender.
Wow. That's two drug references. Wow.
It's okay, David. We haven't started yet.
Hold on. When you say wrap something around your arm and we're talking about alcohol...
An old-timey
the bartender. You know, with the handlebar mustache.
No.
And like a towel over his...
Yeah.
That you know. That reference you know.
What was the whole point of the elastic band around the arm? Did it serve any sort of practical purpose?
They kept bottle openers under it. So they'd whip it out, able to open the beer.
They had pockets, though.
And
that
then put it in.
No, that can't be it.
Put it in.
No pockets.
Right here.
Can't be in.
No pockets?
No pockets.
Those shirts did not have pockets that
you didn't want. They didn't want you putting out the till in your pocket, right? You got to make sure. So if you're going to carry anything, it's got to be out in the open.
You know what? Do you ever go to those super pretentious bars where they're wearing aprons?
Oh, yeah. And mixologists. Don't get me started on mixologists. What's a mixologist? Oh, you made me a rum and coke. What is that mixology?
No, mixology is when you get a lemon and you squeeze it, but you don't actually put any of the juice in there. You're just squeezing the aroma.
There's also this where you do this with the mint.
The essence. Yeah. Oh, you got to spank the mint.
Yeah.
Look down on you when you order.
My cousin who went on the Twine tour also taking a mixology class next year.
Oh, my God.
fascinating.
When you do it, when you order, do you ever feel guilty ordering like a rum and coke from a very fancy bar where you know they're making cool drinks and they look at you and judge you because that's what you're ordering?
I don't want, like, I mean, these things are just too complicated sometimes. There's one that comes out under like a glass kind of covering and there's
smoke
coming out. And I'm like, I just want a drink.
Can I drink it now? That's what the question is. When is that okay? Is that cold? Is that like dry ice? Yeah, I've been through that.
Or like going to the, I've had the problem where I went to a bar and the bartender, like to make the drink, is doing the Tom Cruise and cocktail, throwing the bottle up in the sky and get, like, no, I'm not impressed. The tip is not going to be bigger for the performance.
Hubba hubba. Have you guys gone to like bars where they have fancy drinks and half the ingredients in a drink, you recognize one word. So it'll be like, blah, 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 infused vodka. And then everything else is just words that you've never heard of.
Chrysanthemum.
And you're like, I don't
and
know
you order it
like
to feel
drink.
Cool, right? It's a $19 drink and you see vodka in it and you say, excuse me, is this one good? And they suggest it and you take it, but you have no idea what's in it.
It's my pet peeve. I want to know what something's going to taste like before I order it.
The worst. I'm even worse than it doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
Is you order the drink. I'm like, oh, this looks like I'd like it. And then it comes out in a very sheeshy kind of
glass?
Over the top, like, overstated.
Yeah, it's like, it's, yeah, the presentation, it's like, it's the...
Because you feel like it's a female drink? Is that your issue?
Yeah, it just feels like, it's like there's no way I can feel like, yeah, I drink.
Because it's not manly enough.
It's got like an umbrella.
It's just hard to transport. I like to move. When I'm drinking,
it's not practical.
I can't really
saying.
Move with this thing. I also don't like martini glasses for the same reason. You
get
have
out
to stay
here.
In one place with a martini.
I get made fun of because I order cosmopolitans because I like them, and it's
all
no
right, Carrie Bradshaw.
So not even I know the reference, but that's not why. It's because when I used to be able to taste them, it's the type of alcohol that I could drink. And it comes in a martini glass, and I'd get made fun of mercilessly in the baseball world when I would sit with a bunch of men and order a Cosmo.
That's just, we need to get over the fact. We can't ascribe gender to drinks. This
you
is
can.
Just ridiculous. Yeah,
you can.
This is the last chip to fall,
I know
fall,
that
afraid.
You can technically do a lot of things, but come on, really?
You shouldn't. I hear you, but it's the last chip to fall.
It's not the last chip to fall. Well, it's not even the last 10.
Equal pay is the last chip to fall. Right? Yeah.
That's going too far.
Let's not get crazy.
Let's not get nuts. misogyny.
Can we talk about Cocktail for one quick second? How come that movie gets no love? Do you give that movie love?
We did it on Cinephobe, and I think I did not like it because it was too long. I have like a, it's not a strict rule, but it's a pretty consistent rule. If it's over 2 hours, sometimes it kills me. The other thing about Cocktail is that most of the movie takes place in Jamaica.
So?
And I wanted it to be in New York.
Oh.
Like, Jamaica was actually pretty boring when he goes to Jamaica. And they were just there. It felt like they were just in Jamaica just for the soundtrack, for the beach
place. Kokomo?
Yeah, that's the only
Way
reason.
Down in Kokomo.
Yeah. I hate that song with a passion.
It's unreal.
That song is
terrible song.
Banger.
Oh, get out of here.
It's a
it
banger.
Is both a banger and hated song. By Kokomo. Everybody.
Yeah, because if you're on a boat and you're actually headed to Kokomo, that is a practical application, and it is perfectly supplemental for the moment.
If I was on a boat, if I was on a dinghy, I would hate that song.
No.
It's a terrible song.
Have you ever been down to Key Largo?
No.
Baby, why don't we go?
Do you like the song Key Largo by Bertie Higgins?
I love that song.
So do I.
Love that song. It's also one of the great album covers ever. Have you seen it?
I have seen it, but I can't. Is it cartoony?
It's very like, ooh, what are graphics type of.
I like it.
Yeah, I gotta find that.
So
album
Cocktail,
cover.
Yes, I did not like Cocktail.
Wait, you have a list of movies you like and don't like?
You didn't like Cocktail?
I do a podcast called.
No, I know
Cinephobe.
You do a podcast. I do. I review
Wait,
a movie
we,
every day.
We
I mean,
saw
if
Cocktail.
We're gonna go man to man
podcast,
you were on
that episode.
You were on that episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Cocktail is a tale of two different movies.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brian Brown, Tom Cruise, Elizabeth Shue. Are we talking about the same movie?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got Coughlin's the same.
Law.
Hold on. I have a list of every movie I've seen and everyone I've reviewed on Nothing Personal, but I don't write whether I've liked it next
to
it.
Because, I mean, that's
You don't
whole...
recall if you liked Cocktail?
No.
He's saying.
I'm saying I do. I don't need to look at a list to tell you whether I liked a movie.
Okay.
Because we do this and we keep track because.
So, no, I know you do, but isn't that just. I know your show and it's phenomenal, but do you do that for the show or that's you like in real life?
Oh, no, that's. What I said is basically based on my viewing at that time, right? So there are movies that I remember watching and I loved, and then we do it for the podcast, and I'm like, not that good of a movie. I don't know what I was thinking. And then sometimes movies that are like, ah, I don't know about this one. So I'll give you a great example. Soul Plane was a movie that when it came out, I was like, this
great
is
movie.
Dumb. I thought it was dumb when it came out. I watched it for the podcast 10 years after watching it for the first time. And I'm like, it's actually pretty funny. Like, I don't know why I gave it such a hard time. And then the opposite happens sometimes, like Roadhouse. I just like.
But every movie you see, you're going to react to differently depending on when you see it.
Depends, yeah. I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you see St. Elmo's Fire and you're of that age,
right.
you're going to react to it in a wistful way. When you see it when you're 54, you're going to look at it and say, whoa, I can't relate to that anymore.
But then there's some movies that I know this because I can tell, for instance, Jess, who wasn't. Jess, have you seen Back to the Future?
Never.
Okay. Like I could show her Back to the Future. She's like, this is kind of dumb. The graphics are kind of lame. And for me, I'm like, this. I remember 5 years old going to watch that movie in the theater. I remember that. And I've loved that movie ever since. There's nothing anyone can ever tell me. It is the perfect movie. That doesn't change, even though her criticisms might be accurate as far as some of the parts of it.
So will you change your top 100 if you see a movie a second time or a fifth time or a tenth time and you react to it differently because you're older? Will you take it out of your top 100 list?
Depends, because some movies you appreciate better when you're older, right? You watched it and your kid's like, I don't get any of this. And then you watch it again like, oh. I think I want to say, what movie was that? Was it, might have been The Godfather. I remember when I watched it, I was like, this is a very slow movie. And then watching it after being older and thinking like, oh, this is actually beyond what everyone says. It's like, it's objectively very beautifully made.
So my daughter has a rule, and I'm wondering, do you have the same rule? She will not watch a movie prior to the year she was born.
What?
Yes.
I don't have that rule, but
it's
I do
the worst
find
rule
that,
of all time,
I
but
do
that's
find
rule.
That movies before, because I was born in like the mid 90s. So movies before I was born tend to not hold up as well as movies since, because there was a big shift in the way Hollywood did practical effects and CGI and all of that. And so I grew up watching movies like Lord of the Rings was one of the first like epic films I ever saw. And that movie obviously has aged pretty well, even despite it being made over 20 years ago now. And so that kind of set the standard for me. And now anything that's going to use any effect or CGI or anything, like, it's just hard to get into it now because I it just doesn't hold up as well visually.
I've never really thought about it that way. When I think back to some of my favorite movies from well before when I was born, they didn't really rely on special effects. It's the Psychos, it's the Sunset Boulevards, it's the Rear Windows. It's very practically done.
Going back to Back to the Future, yeah, the graphics and, you know, everything sucks because you can see Doc Brown in the one where he comes back from the future right. to Marty. You see he has a bald cap on and like you can see the difference in tone
makeup.
Of makeup.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it sucks, but I love that movie and that's one of the greatest movies and one of the greatest trilogies of all time outside of number three.
I guess my thing is when I watch...
Wait, you're
not going to slander Back
three.
To the Future 3.
I like the Western one. Come on.
Can something be one of the greatest trilogies of all time except for number three?
Yeah, of course.
Well, Godfather.
The Ninja Turtles is on that list.
Whoa, three was fine.
What kind of moccasins do those say Nikkei on them? What is that? Slur for Native American?
Oh, you're quoting Back to the Future 3?
Yeah. Great movie.
Didn't they shoot 2 and 3 back to back?
Yes.
They shot it at once.
Why did they do that? Is because Marty was
that's
already
how
looking
they could,
older?
That's how they could get Michael J. Fox.
He was
yeah,
busy.
He was so in demand.
They had to just get him. Yep. That was back in his day.
Because it wasn't even like...
They almost
like 2 and 3 are so different from an aesthetics point of view that it doesn't.
Well, it's just different time periods.
Yeah,
it's a time travel movie, Mike.
Right. It so happens. One's in the Old West, one is in the future.
I get it, but it's just kind of weird to stack those a Western and a futuristic film back to back.
He almost wasn't in the first one, right?
Eric Stoltz. Yeah, I've seen the footage of Eric Stoltz actually
and he was
in
terrible.
Back to the Future.
So they cast Michael J. Fox. Michael J. Fox then couldn't do it because family ties. So then they said, okay, we're going to go in a different direction. They went with Eric Stoltz. They started shooting the movie. He was so bad, they went back to Michael J. Fox and said, what if we just tape at night? And so they struck a deal with Family Ties that, you know, he would work during the day on the TV show, and then at night would go shoot the stuff for Back to
when
the
you're
future.
Hot, you gotta do more than one thing at once, right? And that is what actors
so
do
true.
Now. Right? I'm talking about shows. Okay, can we get back to the Future 3? Are there people saying that they don't like that movie?
Tony, I believe,
yeah,
is
yeah, three
is
not
certain.
Good. Three,
yeah, three, three,
three,
is not, three is not good. Is no.
A big disappointment.
Three was excellent.
Three would happen to be excellent.
This is a huge gulf.
Three was excellent.
It wasn't excellent.
Do you rank it 1, 2, 3? I rank it 1, 2, 3 for me.
I go 1, and then 2 and 3 is neck and neck for me. But I like so westerns. 1, 2, 3.
But you got to choose one.
No. I like
you can't just say they're neck and neck.
I like westerns.
I didn't know that about you.
I do.
Like Unforgiven?
No, I like spaghetti westerns.
Oh, like John Wayne type stuff. Did you bring those on tape?
Yeah, like, those a Fistful of Dollars.
Hell yeah.
Not Ecstasy of Gold. What's it called? Good, the Bad, and
that
Ugly.
Was a song.
That was a different videotape.
Ecstasy of Gold.
Don't back him up. It was a song.
So I like those movies. I love, like, my favorite video game is Red Dead Redemption. I love Westworld Season 1 because of it. Like, all of this stuff for me is, like, that's my sweet spot. That's my wheelhouse. So I love Back to the Future 3. I also like origin stories. Like, oh, that's how the clock got to be how it was. And, you know, I don't know. It was all cool. No,
That's why you like Predator 2?
I do.
Because he hands him a gun?
The gun, yeah. There you go. The gun in Predator 2 lets me know that this is how it all started.
I find it fascinating who's seen what, who's heard of what, and how you think about how old people are and how things age. So I look at that when it comes to athletes. Mm-hmm. And the discussion of who's the greatest basketball mm-hmm. player, the greatest baseball player. It really is based on age and based on experience. So people who grow up, I think back, I was born in 68.
Okay.
If my parents said, watch a movie from 1950, right, when I was growing up, I would say, there's no way. I have no interest in that. So when I tell my kids to watch a movie from the 1980s, to them, that's me watching a movie from the 50s.
Sure, but I grew up. My dad made me watch Some Like It Hot and Buster Keaton movies and Charlie Chaplin movies, and I love that stuff. So that's why I don't have empathy when people say, oh, it was before my day. I'm like, I watched a shit ton of movies.
Do you love it because they were good, or do you love it because you have the association of watching it with your dad?
No, they're good. Oh, no, it wasn't like that, but it was like, come here,
son. What do you
son.
Mean it wasn't like that?
It wasn't like, come here, son.
It was like that. Yeah, what? Let's explore this.
No, it's not like, because it was like,
he made you do it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the first time, but then like you watch it 300 more times, and then after that you're like, yeah, I kind of like this thing. But Godfather, I didn't watch that with my dad. That came out before I was born.
But that's also considered like one of the best movies.
But there are people who won't even give it a try. What's the Easy Rider? Dog Day Afternoon.
I saw Easy Rider. It does not hold up.
Midnight Cowboy.
Oh,
Midnight Cowboy.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
It totally holds up.
Great movie.
It holds up.
That one does, but Easy Rider absolutely does not. Well, Easy Rider just tapped into hippie culture, and it just represented so much to those outlaws.
Taxi Driver.
The younger audience.
Deliverance. I could go all day.
I like Deliverance. It does hold up.
Bringing Up Baby.
And I get what you're
Three
saying.
Three Men and a Baby.
Just because you watch it with your dad doesn't mean that you have any sort of like special connection to
right.
it. Like me with the Chicago Bears. However, sometimes you think that something's better than it really is because someone's telling you it's good. And if that person's older than you, you'll kind of like give it a little bit more leeway, right? Like if you're watching a movie with like your older sibling and they're like, this movie's amazing. And you're like, I don't get it, but like, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt because my sister, who I look up to, says it's really good.
But they'll say it to their sister, right? They'll say, oh, I liked it. But when they go tell their friends, they'll say, yeah, I was forced to watch this movie and it sucked.
Maybe. Oh, but if you're really young, maybe you'll just be like, oh, yeah, I like this. But you don't actually really think it's
good. This might come as a surprise. I was a hater as a child. So, like, I walked into things not wanting to like stuff. Yeah.
As a child only?
Did you do that when you met people? Like, are you predisposed not to like people when you meet them?
No. Just about, like, content.
Content.
Movies, music, like, oh, because, okay, so I'll give you a great example. I grew up, when I was in New York, we lived in Queens, and the Mets were on fire. I was the kid like, out of here, Mets. I'm going to be a Yankee fan because everyone's on that Mets bandwagon.
So you're a contrarian.
I was a hater, yes. I just hated on
it's
things
It's very
that
hard
like.
To be that in life.
Oh, man.
Right, it takes effort.
It's fun.
Why is that fun?
Because it's hilarious.
Do you play the don'ts in craps? Do you know what that is?
No.
So did anyone?
Oh, do not do that. Do not
I don't
do
like.
That.
I don't like any casino game where people get upset about how you play. Play. That's why I love roulette. I'll play whatever.
Well, no one gets upset with craps because you just roll it. They do. Because, but it's not your fault. Blackjack can actually have an impact on the table. Craps, you're rolling a dice.
Well, I know, but they still get upset because they feel like
if someone does that, I'm just like, ah, whatever, this person. It doesn't really affect what's happening.
No,
but it's just like, why? This is such a jovial communal game. Mm-hmm. Why are you going against it?
So the don'ts are contrarians. Basically, in craps, you are trying to get a number twice. That's the rule. Right. If you get a six, you want it a second time, and then you win. A don't is when you are betting that you're going to get a seven before you get the number twice.
Right.
And so there are people who are bet that you're going to get a seven. And so what happens is the dice get, you roll the dice, and then a seven comes up, and everyone's despondent. They take all the chips away from everyone. And this one guy, he's like, hell yeah. And he gets extra chips. It's totally, it's just math, by the way. There's no difference. Here's a little known fact, Mike. There's no difference in the don'ts and the do's. It feels good because you have crowd herd mentality, but the math is exactly the same.
It is exactly the same, but it's just when everyone else is dejected, the last thing you want to see is somebody being very happy. If you're a don't person, you better not celebrate. It's honestly like neutral colors.
And you're also not allowed to roll the dice from the don'ts.
Yeah.
Like they have little rules. But I used to love, did you like winning road games better than home games? I did. I loved a quiet stadium. Loved like shutting up.
You loved home games too.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don Levitard.
Is it Tuesday?
Yeah.
Is this going to run on Tuesday? It better. Why would you not interview me and then not run it on the same day? Mm-hmm. That's stupid.
Yeah. Nonsensical. You're right.
Stugatz.
Why are you leaving?
Why am I even doing this interview? I should be like on a live program. What the You tricked me. You, Dan Levitard.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Guys, I have to tell you, while we're recording this, we use Zoom to keep, you know, an additional camera angle. And Chris has his Zoom open in a different room because he's recording a spot that you listen to on our podcast. And I'm watching the Zoom right now, I see a kid that's frustrated.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. Because of where this segment started, we're going to go back and just get the audio of him screwing up and secretly recording him making mistakes and falling to the depths of his insecurities about reading. Because we've been waiting for him, because I've got a question for him. I want to ask him, I've wanted to ask him four or five food-related questions the last 2 months, and the show's been moving so fast that I haven't been able to get to it. Like, there's a vodka now that is French fry flavored.
Oh, there was Arby fry vodka. What? I mean, that actually makes sense. A lot of good vodka is made from potato, Dan.
I love salty vodka.
But he's our food guy. He's vodka. I don't like talking about food with anybody around here as much as him. He doesn't want to miss these conversations. And I wanted to talk about the chicken tenders shortage because of the supply chain that's happening. There is the world has a chicken tender shortage because the price is going up on them and it's difficult to package. And so now this thing that placates your kids because it's chicken tenders and fries, it's drying up. And this strikes me as the worst thing that has happened throughout the pandemic.
Attendee shortage?
This is the worst thing.
Yeah, this is the worst thing. I believe that
the chicken wing shortage?
The pandemic has now reached a point that I find unacceptable. Like, it's not okay by me anymore. We have to change the way that we're living. We have to do different things.
What's your favorite tendy you've ever had?
Well, for me, it's not just the tender, though, because there. I don't think there's such a thing as a bad chicken tender. I believe all of those.
You can't. No. You've never had a bad chicken tender.
I get what he's saying.
Tenders.
Yeah. Because
sad tenders.
Yeah, there is,
a little undercooked.
Senders, yeah, no doubt. Yeah. But even the sad
high
tenders,
school. Woof.
Oh, bad. But you know what? The Dolphins Stadium, when the Marlins were playing there, and you'd get the chicken tendy French fry combo that was just like not very good.
Made them at 3 p.m. They've been under a heat lamp for 4 hours, but they're not warm.
Timeout.
But wait, according to stadium pricing, affordable by comparison. Oh, I could get a bunch of fried food to absorb the beer. I could get $9 worth of fried food.
I was going
to
say, it depends on where you are in your day. Those chicken tenders could be the best thing you've ever had. It just depends. Have you eaten yet? Or are you a little bit hammered? Like, sometimes those things are good.
I'm going to say it. I've had more bad tenders than good tenders in my life.
Can you
ever be a little bit hammered?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit hammered.
Just a little hammered.
No, you can never be a little bit hammered. You can have a little buzz. You can even be a little drunk.
It's true.
But you cannot be a little bit hammered.
No.
It's a little blacked out.
The escalating,
I believe, Stugatz has
inebriation
gone through an entire lifetime of being a little bit hammered.
Just a little bit. Chris is on his fifth take.
Whittingham, we're going to get in here.
It's
and we're
a 30-second spot.
We're going to splice these things together so you could hear just the joy in us listening to him screw things up and fall into his insecurities.
If you're going to have a French fried flavored vodka, you would want it to be McDonald's fries, though, right? That would be the front. I mean, Arby's fries. I never thought about Arby's fries.
Arby's fries are so good.
Really?
They are really, really underrated fries.
And it has flavor.
It has a tinge of spice. So if I want to have a French fry flavored vodka, I'd probably gear towards something that has a little dash of spice to it. Because, look, we all know the McDonald's fry is perfect. It's the industry standard. It's the Tom Brady of fries
in
the fast food sector. But for vodka, I've already given myself up to this unique tasting experience of a French fry flavored vodka. Let's go all the way.
Whittingham, help me phrase this question, because I'd like to ask us and the audience, among things that I believe can't be made poorly, I think, and you tell me if there's a fourth in here, but when I think chicken tenders, I also think pizza. Like, even bad pizza is still good. And I think fries. I think you can make fries poorly. Of course you can. They can be too soft, whatever. You can make them poorly.
Yeah.
But even bad fries, pizza, like if I made you pick from among those three and say, which is the one that's got the best success rate? Which is the best of the first ballot Hall of Famers?
Wow.
What are you choosing there among those three, Stugatz, when I ask you? You've never really had a bad one of these. And I'm shocked to hear Whittingham say he's had more bad chicken tenders than good ones. That's shocking.
I think I'd say pizza. Like, there's bad pizza out there. You could screw up a pizza pretty badly. I've never had terrible chicken tenders. I've never had terrible French fries. I've had terrible pizza before.
Dan, pizza and sex, even when they're bad, they're good.
Where'd this guy come from?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
What just happened there?
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't asking for any sexual. I was just asking about pizza.
That's showbiz, Dano.
Who's he become? What has happened to him?
You know what? He's always been this guy. He's just always been that guy. He hasn't become anybody new. We just gave him a microphone.
And Lewis.
Lewis is absolutely feeding the most Miami parts of Tony.
Bringing the most out of Tony, I would say.
Well, explain to people what's happening in this corner of the
room.
This
show is more Miami than it's ever been.
Well,
is Chris Cody still recording?
It's a 30-second read.
Yeah.
My favorite is his body language. He is like leaning and like trying to create. And by the way, I'll admit to do that as well.
He's got a finger gun working right now. Yeah.
I need to explain to the audience, and Lewis will take this, as we introduce you to more and more people and more things around here. I want the audience to see what's happening right now, where we started a segment And when we started that segment, we were saying to ourselves, how long will it take Chris Cody to read this 30-second ad? About 5 or 6 minutes into it, I looked at the faces of Mike Ryan and Jessica, who were looking into the Zoom where I would imagine, because I'm behind, so I can't see what's on their screen. But I would imagine, like Chris Farley, that Chris Cody was berating himself because he cannot read correctly. And the way that I'm reading that is by looking into the eyes of Jessica and Mike and the delight that they are having in his suffering as they roar with laughter at how mad he gets at how poorly he reads.
I've experienced this before. I once sat in the room with Chris while he was doing spots, and I think it only exacerbated the problem because there was someone there to observe it in person.
Yes.
And I said, do you want me to leave? I was like, yes, please. I wanted you to leave for 5 minutes.
Well, you'll make somebody nervous. I mean, you will. You
why?
Can make someone, because he knows you could read that thing in 30 seconds.
Yes, you're very
you
good.
Read good. You're, that's why.
You read well, yes.
What?
Reading in front of people is really hard, but... Chris Cody's in a room by himself right now. He doesn't actually know we're watching
him. He's been there 10 minutes. I can't wait till he gets out to sort of spring this on him that we are now going, because he's not doing this thinking we're watching this. And furthermore, giving you the director's cut of analysis on play by play.
If I know what I'm seeing right there, this guy's getting to the edit before we ever see it. He doesn't want any
of it. All right, call him in here right now. Does he know does he know that we're watching him? Go get him right now and pull him out of there. Tell him we need him right now.
I'll record spots for you just about every weekend, right? Like, you'll hear burps in the middle of them.
Yes.
Like, I don't care. I just keep going.
You've been doing it for 20 years.
Disgusting.
Yeah, totally disgusting.
Right, I'm
somebody
earful.
Will clean it up.
Chris will edit it.
I'm just going to poop here on the keyboard. Somebody will get that. Whittingham, you got that diarrhea? Good. Good.
I'm wearing earbuds, and it's like Stugatz is burping into my frontal lobe.
Do you know how much every sound I make, kid, makes me $100? Get on that.
I think I burp, and I'm like, Whitty, clean it up.
Yeah.
I have a fourth nominee, by the way, for foods that you've never had a bad version of. Fajitas. Has anyone ever had bad fajitas?
Yeah.
I've never had bad imagine fajitas. It. I've had like okay fajitas.
Right.
I've never had
you
bad
can never
fajitas.
Have bad fajitas.
Can't imagine.
I can't imagine it.
It cannot be imagined.
I think once you get to like the seafood fajitas, like a shrimp fajita, it could
good
be
shout.
Bad.
Good
yes.
shout.
Yes.
Specify chicken fajitas.
No, especially with the shrimp fajita, if you have to undo your own shrimp, if it doesn't come already, if there's like little particles of plastic in there, you can't do that to me, Mexican place. Come on. Let's go.
Got to get rid of those tails.
Do better. Get rid of the tails. What are you doing?
Getting shrimp stuck underneath your fingernail is a very, very obnoxious thing to happen while you're reading.
Oh, here comes Chris Cody.
Oh, boy.
Chris, do you know any of what's going on with us, or do I need to update you in real time? Because we've got a question for you that we've been... Oh, he knows nothing. He knows nothing.
Oh,
okay.
Poor kid.
All right. Cody, I've been wanting to talk to you for about 20 minutes, and can you just tell the audience... what's been happening here? Because I've been wanting to talk to you.
I've been working for about 20 minutes on a read that's a 30-second read in the other studio. I mean, listen, this is obviously not a strength of mine to, like, you know, read.
Uh-huh.
And especially when you got to sound natural doing it. And plus, on top of that, don't want to blame the sponsor, but the copy was not, like, you know, the most smooth read.
Sure.
I'm already deflecting. You guys haven't even heard
not
the sound
only,
yet.
Mm-hmm. Not only did... Chris get assigned to do this. It was specifically requested by the client that Chris do it. The
and
client
so you,
wanted Chris to
read. So you were having
this.
Trouble with natural? Is that the problem? You were having trouble with a natural read? Because this is a frustration I've had with sales for a while, and hopefully we can clean some of this up now that we own some of this stuff that we're doing. But I have wanted... for the client to always understand, hey, we're not very good at some of this stuff. Like, it's not about
reading.
It's not about bullet points. Like, if you want to support what it is that
Speak
we're doing
yourself.
Around here.
It is annoying listening to Whitty do that stuff.
That's why Whitty can't
he
be in the room. He cannot be in the room.
Yes. One take, he does it, like, every time perfectly. And I just want to, because it takes me, as you saw on the Zoom, like 15 minutes to do a poor 30-second ad.
But I give you credit for caring, Chris, because I was telling Dan, I'll burp in the middle, I'll just let it fly and send it to Chris, and he'll clean it up. But at least you care.
Yeah, yes.
I was taking it from the top, because I was like, no, that didn't sound clean. There's so many. Like, I have, like, an opening line. I say it, like, 48 times.
It's been a long time since Stugatz took pride in what it is that he says. So it's nice. He doesn't.
I don't know if there's ever been a time.
He doesn't recognize it when you're sitting there trying to sculpt it. So it sounds natural on behalf of the client. I'm going to sell something that feels like it's from my heart. But what do you know about what we've been watching? Because I've never seen Jessica as happy as she was pointing at the Zoom and laughing at whatever it is that was happening in the Zoom.
Well, now
you.
I'm understanding, because I was like texting Tony, like, hey, can I get out of this Zoom? I'm in a different room now. I don't need to be. And he's like, no, stay. It's good. Like, I think you should just stay. And I was like, that's odd, but okay, I'll stay in the Zoom. And then I happened to look down at the Zoom every once in a while, like, wow, they're having a really great segment right now. There's a lot of laughing going on. Man, are they having fun. They are having fun.
Real smooth you are.
You're like, I'm missing out. I've got FOMO.
But I was creating it, apparently. You're welcome.
Okay, so how do we do this, though? If we were to play these 10 minutes for the people, would it be
funny? It would be
funny,
painful. It'd be really painful, I think, for them, actually. I mean, I don't know. We could play it. I sent it to Witty with the title Bleep Off.
So, Mike, so how do we do this, Mike? I think we could have 10 minutes of good content here or it could just be terrible. I don't know.
I might have been saying curse words. I might have been mother effing the client. I don't know what I was saying in these moments. I was like, God damn it, this is not good. I don't know. I don't know who I was mad at.
Dan, I promise you, it's going to be bad for Chris, but great for our audience.
Okay, but should we give you time to edit it so that we're not wasting the audience's time by.
I'm down to have Witty maybe edit it down to like the funny parts.
All right, so let's wait here. We will wait.
Why don't you ask Chris Cody your food questions while we cut this thing down to a place where Chris is comfortable?
Okay, and this is the question I wanted to ask you that you were busy, too busy reading to answer, reading poorly for 10 minutes, a 30-second slot, a spot. How do you feel, and did you read about...
They're playing it in Q in here, so like they're like laughing at me as you're talking to me. So like this is.
I can't wait anymore.
First of all, I've heard a lot of you do this. Besides Woody, everybody besides Woody can't throw a stone. I mean, it's not as bad as me. I'm not saying I'm better, but like I've seen.
You're right. I'm terrible.
I've heard some of you try to do reads. You never
heard. All right, don't edit it then, Mike.
Folks, during December, Sheets and Googles is offering a killer deal. If you want to give something,
it's a tough one.
And folks, during December, these Sheets and Giggles is off. And folks, during December, Sheets and Giggles is offering a killer deal. If you want to give some sheety gifts to your friends and family, a buy one get one half off deal with the code ho ho ho.
So unnatural.
HOHO. Or if you just want to try the sheets for yourself, head to sheetsgiggles.com/Dan and use the code Dan. This Christmas, you can get 20% off your first order of Sheets and Giggles at.
There's an F-bomb coming.
Oh.
He's talking to himself.
Sheets and Giggles. Guys, Sheets and Giggles is a game changer. I never used to care what I slept on in my bed, but once I got Sheets and Giggles in my life, I'm never going
so
to.
So natural.
Because I'm telling you, it is just.
This is me looking at the Zoom. Wow, they're having a great time.
Sheets and Giggles. Guys, I am not someone who does this type of thing a lot. I'm not a salesy guy. But when I tell you that my life and my wife are so much better now that I am using Sheets and Giggles every night on my bed.
Doesn't even sound like I'm reading.
I love the gifts.
I love
the best part.
That you're in a room by yourself.
We are giving you, we're going to make you happy with these deals. Sheets and Giggles is offering a killer deal. If you want to give some sheety and during December, Sheets and Giggles is offering a killer deal. If you want to get your friends and family some sheety gifts. Some sheety gifts.
He blamed the copy.
A buy one, get one half off deal with the code. If you just want to try the sheets yourself, you head to sheetsgiggles.com/Dan, use the code Dan. And if you're looking to buy someone for someone else, buy one, get one half off. Guys, during December, Sheets and Giggles is offering a killer deal. If you want to give some sheety gifts to your friends and family this year, a buy one, get one half off deal with the code ho ho ho, HOHOHO, or if you just want to try the sheets yourself, head to sheetsgiggles.com/Dan and use the code Dan. Guys, let me tell you about Sheets and Giggles. Now, not only is this a good product, but it's a catchy name. I like my products to have clever, fun name.
That's me riffing. The opening was not.
They have insanely soft eucalyptus sheets. Guys, I am here to tell you about Sheets and Giggles. Now, I love a good sleep. We all do. What? I run hot. I sometimes sweat. We were recently sent some Sheets and Giggles, and I'm telling you, the insanely soft eucalyptus sheets make the perfect gift for your wife, your husband,
I'm
this
bad at
year.
This.
Guys, let me tell you about Sheets and Giggles.
See, I just kept doing it because I was like, nope, not this.
Did you get 30 seconds that are usable, or did you?
Were
you
in the- guys, let me tell you about Sheets and Giggles. Now, Sheets and Giggles.
Whittingham, what about?
I mean, I'm sold. I don't know about you.
What about you? Need to be doing all the ads for Sheets and
folks,
Giggles.
Let me tell you
like that.
About Sheets and Giggles.
You need to make.
I was Sheets like, guys, is not the right thing in 2021. Let me go with folks.
Folks, let me tell you about Sheets and Giggles.
Way to go.
Sheets and Giggles is
a quality in 2021.
And you're outsmarting the copy with folks. Let me be folksy.
Ah, Sheets and Giggles.
It's a comfort zone
this
for you.
This is a game changer in my household. Yeah.
So natural. You sound like you're falling from a cliff.
Give that copy to Whittingham. I want to hear
him read it. That you don't realize how important it are, how important they are. The sheets that you have on your bed, it's one of those things you don't notice you have something. Like,
try to be natural, and it doesn't sound that way at all.
So long. Why is it so long?
Sheets and Giggles. Guys, I have learned the lesson. I have come around. I used to be a guy, you give me one sheet, you give me another, I don't really care. But once I got my hands on some Sheets and Giggles, it has been a game changer. My wife loves it.
Can we stop?
My wife loves it. Sheets and Giggles insanely soft eucalyptus sheets are a perfect gift for your wife or husband this year. And it's a heady play. It's
like, what was that? Speed bump.
I think we're getting somewhere. That was a decent one.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail palms lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail palms. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail palms quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.